For many of us, living the Christian life is like a lion tamer with the whip. We're trying to whip ourselves into shape.
But Dr. Tony Evans says real change doesn't happen from the outside in. It's the result of really knowing the Lord.
See, a lot of folks want God power without God intimacy. You don't get the power without the knowledge.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. As the old saying goes, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Let's join Dr. Evans as he talks about how really knowing God changes us from the inside out.
God feeds hungry people. And one of the reasons that we do not know God is we're not hungry yet. One of the great hungry people in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. From prison, he writes the book of Philippians. From a prison cell, his message in the book of Philippians is, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. His circumstances aren't joyful. His situation isn't pleasing. He's not in the best scenario. He's financially struggling. That's why he thanks them for the financial gift he sent them, being incarcerated under house arrest. He's struggling with being alone. Nobody to keep him company in jail. He's burdened for how things are going with the other Christians at the church at Philippi. He's got all these negative things going on in his life, and he writes the book, Rejoice in the Lord Always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, his circumstances, although negative, were not controlling his well-being. He writes in chapter 3, relative to our theme of knowing God. In verse 8, he talks about the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. The first phrase of verse 10, that I may know him. Our theme is knowing God, yet he says, I want to know him, referring to Christ. The reason he wants to know Christ is your direct route to God. Let's put it this way, he's your shortcut. Religion is the long way around. In fact, it'll never get you to your destination. Paul found in Jesus Christ a treasure more valuable than what his own humanity could ever achieve. And that's why he says this in verse 9. That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own creation. Not having a standard. A righteousness has to do with meeting God's standard. Not having a standard of righteousness that has come from my human ability to make it happen. But one that is derived by faith. What is he saying? For many of us, living the Christian life is like a lion tamer with the whip. We're trying to whip ourselves into shape. We're trying to force our souls to be what our souls won't cooperate with. We know I should be better in this area and I should be better in this area, and we try to whip ourselves into shape and make ourselves do better and make ourselves be holy and make ourselves be pure and make ourselves be righteousness, and we just keep trying to make it happen. Paul says, I don't want to wear those clothes. The Bible describes self-righteousness as a type of attire. Self-righteousness is righteousness that I put on. It's clothes that I wear. It's me dressing myself. When Jesus Christ came into your life, the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit of Christ, was deposited into your soul. That is, the perfect righteousness of Christ has been deposited into every believer. Every Christian already has the perfect righteousness of Christ in seed form. In seed form. It is the growth of that seed in the soul that produces Christ righteousness. The difference between self-righteousness and Christ righteousness is self-righteousness is externally derived, which is why you can take it off and put it on. See, self-righteousness is externally derived. I go to my closet and I put on my holy clothes, holy look, holy makeup, holy rollers, holy curlers. I have this way of being that is dressing me up, but it's really not me. It's what I'm dressed up to look like. Paul says, that's not what I want. I want a righteousness that is derived from him by faith in him. What does he mean? I want Christ to grow in my inside. If Christ expands in my inside, that will take over my soul. My soul tells my body what to do. So the reason I'm going to do what I do with my body differently is because the soul, who I really am, is functioning differently. That's because the spirit, Christ in me, is expanding within me. Then it's not an external righteousness, it's who I really am. How do you get that? He says you get that through knowing him. Coming to know him, coming to draw close to him, coming to experience him, coming to prioritize my knowledge of him. It is that intimate personal relationship that is the righteousness that Christ is looking for, not the external dress. He says in verse 10, that I may know him. I want to pursue him. I want to know him that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That power that got him up out the grave. I want to know him. In other words, here it is. You don't get the power without the knowledge. See, a lot of folk want God power without God intimacy. They want to remain long distance with God but have resurrection power. He said that I might know him and have the power. The power comes with the intimacy. No intimacy, no power. No power, no supernatural intrusions into your life. No seeing God break through for you. No seeing heaven visit earth. None of that comes. In other words, that's tied to the intimacy. The power is tied to the intimacy. Everybody wants God's power. If you want God's intimacy, the power comes with the knowledge. And we're not talking about informational knowledge. We're talking about relational knowledge. He goes on and he says, and the fellowship of his suffering. I want to know him, which means I will now have accessibility to the power. And what does this power do? It resurrects things that are dead. The power of his resurrection. You resurrect dead things. I want the power that raises stuff that's dead. I want, watch this. The fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Suffering is designed to enhance intimacy. Suffering is designed to enhance intimacy. He calls it the fellowship of his suffering. Okay, watch this now. If you are suffering and you are seeking to know him, if those two things are true, you're seeking to know him and life is going south. You're seeking to know him and things aren't working out. You're seeking to know him and things are getting worse than getting better. Guess what Jesus is doing? He's inviting you to a deeper level of intimacy. Suffering, for those who want to know him, is an invitation to closeness. God is saying that you ought to be saying, when you're seeking to know him and things aren't working out, God, how do you want to use this that I am currently going through to conform me closer to the image of your son? How do you want to make me more like Jesus through what you're sending me through right now? That's why James can say, count it all joy when you go through trial. He's not saying count the trial as joy. He's saying count the reason for the trial as joy. If you're seeking to know him and it's not working out, he's inviting you to a deeper level of intimacy. You say, why hasn't he got me out of trial yet? Because you haven't got close enough yet. You're spending so much time trying to get out of the trial that you haven't gotten to the purpose of the trial. So he'll let the trial hang there as long as it needs to hang there, because you said you wanted to know him. You said you wanted to get close to him. You said you wanted to be intimate with him. He says, okay, well then you've got to go through some stuff. Remember, Jesus never experienced Easter Sunday until he went through Bad Friday. He had to suffer to get a resurrection. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't ask for suffering. You don't look for suffering. You don't go out for suffering. You don't beg for suffering. But when you encounter it, that is an invitation to draw near. Why? Because there is nothing like knowing God when he brings you through something. See, God becomes real when he brings you through something. It's all nice and cute to say, oh, Lord's been good to me. Lord's been nice to me. He put bread on my table and gave me food to eat. And he gave me air to breathe and all that. But when he brings you through something, that's different. See, now you're experiencing him at a whole different level because he's brought you through something.
But sometimes what God brings us through can be difficult and painful. More on that when Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment.
How well do you know God? Is he an acquaintance or is he at the level of a good friend? Maybe you know him as well as you know your spouse. Think about it. How well do you truly know God? Dr. Tony Evans' newest book, Knowing God, is about pursuing a connection with the one who can truly meet your physical and emotional needs. Visit TonyEvans.org and get your copy of the book, Knowing God, along with a DVD and Bible study. That's at TonyEvans.org.
And if we hear from you right away, the entire package of resources is yours as our thank you gift for your contribution to make this listener-supported ministry possible. As a special bonus, we'll also include all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current Knowing God series, both on CD and digital download. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make the arrangements before time runs out. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and speak with one of our friendly resource team members. They're ready to help you around the clock. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you again after part 2 of today's message.
When we're trying to know God, this is for people who want to know God, and he's taking you through something. He's trying to draw you near, watch this now, while at the same time he's trying to kill something, being conformed to his death. Death is killing something. If he's sending you through something, there's something in you he wants to die. There's something in you that he wants to get rid of. There's something in you that he wants to jack up. There's something in you he wants to remove while you draw near. You want to know him? Well, if you want to know him, he wants to make you like him, which means he wants to get rid of stuff that's not like him as he draws you near to him, to fellowship with him as you go through. And it means there's something there he wants to kill. He wants to conform you to his death. You take a fire poker, you put it inside the fire, in the fireplace. You watch the tip of it get red. You know what's happening? The fire is rubbing off on the poker. The fire is rubbing off. You know why it's rubbing off? Because that's where the poker is hanging out. See, it's hanging out in the fire. So the fire rubs off on the poker. See, as long as it's sitting outside the fireplace, it's different. But once you start letting it hang out inside the fireplace, the suffering of heat rubs off on the poker because of where it's hanging out. See, if it doesn't want to get hot, it needs to stay out. Once you put it in, it's going to get lit up because that's the environment it's hanging out in. See, the reason why so many of us are not on fire for Jesus is we're not hanging out with him. So it doesn't rub off on us. We stay outside of the fireplace, but try to get close enough to look like we're in touch with it. But we never get red hot because we keep safe distance away. He says, I want a fellowship with him. And sometimes that fellowship is in the heat of suffering. But suffering for the believer is never just suffering. It is purposeful to draw us near and to kill something. And then he closes with this phrase. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In order that I may attain, I'm going to be conformed to his death. In order that, not just so I stay dead, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Hear me. In order that I'm going to fellowship with him during my bad times. I'm going to draw close to him during my bad times because he wants to take me deeper with him. In the meantime, he's going to be killing something he wants to get rid of in my life. While he's doing all this, the goal of all this, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, the reason why I'm going over this and over this is a unique Greek phrase only found here in the New Testament. This phrase, attaining to the resurrection of the dead, is not found anywhere else. It's found here. The literal translation is that I may attain to an out-of-the-box resurrection. An out-of-the-box or unique resurrection. That's what the phrase is rendered. Just couldn't quite figure out just how to phrase it because it's such a unique phrase. An out-of-the-box. What is he saying? Paul is saying to me and to you and to us, I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't want regular. I want super unleaded. I don't just want to be like every other Christian I know. I want to be out of the box. I want to be unique. I want to be special. I want my relationship to God to blow my mind. I want to be out of the box. When you put a poker into the fire rubs off on the poker. Before you put the poker in the fire, if you touch something with the poker, nothing gonna happen. It's just another piece of metal touching something. Once you put that baby in the fire, and they fellowship in the suffering, and you bring that thing out and touch something, you're going to light something else up, because where it's hung out has given it a power and a fire that's going to affect anything else that gets close to it. You better stay away from that poker if it's been to the fire, unless you want to get lit up too. You better stay away from that Christian, because if you get too close to them, you're going to start looking like Jesus, because their Jesus is going to rub off on you. You better stay away from that Christian. You get too close to them and God's going to be all over you. See, the reason why we're safe is because we hang out with pokers like us that are not in the fire. See, we hang out with other bland Christians, and because they're bland and we're bland, we think bland is normal. We think we must be on top of the world because I'm like everybody else. Paul says, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be an out-of-the-box Christian, an out-of-the-box saint, where the supernatural is all over me. We used to sing growing up in the old songs, you know, I can feel him in my hands and I can feel him in my feet and I can feel him all over me. That's nice in church, but I want to know, are you lit up when church is over? Are you lit up at home? Are you lit up because you're an out-of-the-box Christian? You're unique. You're one of a kind. It was 1856. In the year 1856, there was a slave named Henry Brown. Henry Brown didn't want to be a slave any longer. He was tired. Henry Brown came up with an idea. Henry Brown got a crate, a box, and he posted it. He was in Richmond, Virginia. He posted it to an abolitionist in Philadelphia. He put the abolitionist's name on the box. He had found out his address, and he posted the box to the abolitionist. Henry Brown got in the box, crouched down, and stayed silent for 3 weeks as the box was shipped from Richmond, Virginia to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. When it arrived at the abolitionist's door, the abolitionist opened the box. Out came Henry Brown. Henry Brown said, I was a slave back in Richmond, Virginia, but I heard you set people free. I heard that you deliver people. So what I did was I went through the suffering and the inconvenience of putting myself in a box, trusting the post office to deliver me to a place where somebody could set me free. And I'm here making myself available to you. The abolitionist says, well, if you were willing to go through that, to leave where you were and arrive where I am, you are now free at last. I declare you to be free. You can't stay on the plantation talking about you want to be free, but it's going to be inconvenient to make your way to the one who sets people free, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The question Paul has for us is, how bad do you want to know him? He says, I don't want to be regular, ordinary. I want to be extraordinary and supernatural. God has somebody here today who wants to be an out-of-the-box Christian.
If you're ready to be that person, ready to experience the life-changing effects of an intimate, personal relationship with God, Dr. Tony Evans would love to help you do that. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. There you'll find helpful information about what it means to be a Christian and some great follow-up resources that can help kickstart your new life. While you're there, check for details on getting a copy of today's message to review on your own or pass along to a friend. The title is That I Might Know Him. Better yet, get it as a part of Tony's current teaching series, Knowing God. Right now, for a limited time, you can get all 8 messages in this powerful series as our gift, along with the brand new The Power of Knowing God book, study guide, and companion DVD that was mentioned earlier, all in appreciation for your contribution to help us keep this program coming your way. Call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222 to make the arrangements. It's open around the clock. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or visit TonyEvans.org. Knowing God in your head is pretty easy, but on its own, pretty useless. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Evans talks about getting that knowledge out of your head and into your heart. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.